Are you tired of the same old pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 3,000 hours of the best pro wrestling events from over 100 of the biggest names in the industry from over 15 countries around the globe. Get your free trial today at Powerslam.tv.
This is your main man, RJ, from the Ringside Rant, heard only on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. So go over and subscribe across all your major platforms, iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, and Stitcher, to hear every great interview I have every Monday on the Visionaries Wrestling Network. Go over and follow the show's page on Twitter at @_RingsideRant. Follow the network's page at BizWrestleNet. And, as always, embrace the vision.
If you like podcasts and you are listening to a backbreaker media, then you should listen to me, Chris Parrish,
and myself, Manoyan,
and the Sounds of Struggle. Because we are literally the most entertaining duo you'll ever come across in Western Canadian wrestling, baby.
We talk about things like wrestling.
And other sports we like.
Like wrestling.
But we won't talk about other sports that we don't like because it's not that kind of podcast.
Like wrestling.
I mean, we like hockey.
And wrestling.
And we like football.
And wrestling.
And we also like to drink beer.
While wrestling.
Well, not while wrestling, but while watching wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah. If you want to get into a conversation with Maniac and Chris Parrish, then you need to tune into the Sounds of Struggle live on Backbreaker Media.
Every Thursday.
That's when we hope to draw, but sometimes Mike Malawaini doesn't do his job right.
Or we're too drunk to forget.
Yeah, that happens too.
Yeah.
He can bleep out the swear word because we weren't supposed to do that.
Oh,
but
I'll try not to swear. Ah, I can't do it.
Yeah. Let's face it. The two of us, we're real.
And spectacular.
And we're a little bit of all right.
Yeah.
We're also struggle-licious.
That we are.
That was kind of a cute. Supposed to be a struggle-licious.
Oh, sorry, I'm trying.
Yeah. So, if you don't want to listen to us, then no. You're stupid because we're entertaining. And if you want to listen to us, then come listen to us on Backbreaker Media.
Yeah.
Later,
reset.
Later, bitches.
The following advertisement is sponsored by Beercade YEG.
Hello. You are listening to a commercial for the podcast Over the Top Rope,
the flagship podcast of the Wind Column Sports Network,
as well as a proud member of Backbreaker Media.
Again, this podcast is sponsored by Beercade YEG.
You can find us pretty well anywhere that podcasts are played, including on the iTunes,
Podbean,
the Google Play,
SoundCloud,
and on windcolumnsports.ca for all your previews,
reviews,
and breaking news from the world of professional wrestling. Tune in every Friday on Backbreaker Media, a member of Win Column Sports. Hello friends, this is Spencer Love, the host of Conversations with Love, the exclusive one-on-one interview series sweeping the nation, or at the very least, the great province of Alberta, Canada. Tune in weekly to Backbreaker Media, a proud member of the Wind Column Sports Network, as I host a member of the independent wrestling community here in Alberta, or wherever the hell I feel like interviewing somebody from. You can only find it on Backbreaker Media, a proud member of the Wind Column Sports Network, and proudly sponsored by Beercade YEG.
We'll be right back. What's up?
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
How's it going?
Oh, good. This is my third podcast recording today.
Solid. Who else did you get on today?
Well, I just finished with What About Ivan.
Yeah, and I saw the post about that one.
Yeah, and then the other one I did was a video game podcast called Remember the Game.
Oh,
and
so
it's with a stand-up comedian in Edmonton. He's got a fair amount of listeners, too. But, yeah, so we talked about WWF Attitude.
Tremendous. I fucking hate that game.
It was a fun conversation, man. It was like that game, like the game's underrated.
Shit.
The actual like gameplay sucks, like really bad. Like you had to pause the game and look up the moves combinations and stuff like that, which is like fucking retarded. But like everything else in the game, like for a Nintendo 64 game of its time, is like, the sound design in that game is still better than what happens in 2K19. Like, at the beginning of every match, it would show the, like, one of the, like, each wrestler, and they would cut, like, this small little promo or say something, you know? And then the crowd chants in the game were way better than the 2K stuff that's going on now. It was the first game with, create a pay-per-view mode. It had a solid, career mode. The only thing that wasn't solid about the game was the fucking gameplay.
The game would have been great if it wasn't for the game itself.
Like, all the cosmetic things are still, like, it's the foundation of what we know today, but 100%, like, the gameplay kills it.
See, if I'm going to go play a game anywhere near WWF Attitude, I'm touching ECW Revolution all fucking day.
The Hardcore Revolution?
Oh, hell yeah.
Ah, you're wrong, man. The best ECW game you can get is ECW Anarchy Rules, which was the second ECW game based on Attitude.
I know that one's much better, but I don't have it.
I should look and see, because I think I have two copies of that one.
Oh, shoot. That'd be actually pretty solid, yeah, because I got Attitude on the N64, I got it on the PlayStation, and I have the ECW Hardcore Revolution on the PlayStation, so.
Yeah, well, the Anarchy Rules is only for PlayStation, but my buddy Dallas, he gave me – oh, you know what? I might be wrong. I might have – he might – because he gave me one that's still in the package, and it's either Hardcore Revolution or Anarchy Rules. But I know I have Anarchy Rules on PlayStation. That game is – and like, don't get me wrong. The gameplay still sucks. But it's cool because there's like table matches and brimstone matches. The brimstone matches are amazing. It's where there's like lava on the outside of the ring, and if you throw the wrestler out of the ring, they fucking explode and burst into flames and disappear.
It's phenomenal.
It is absolutely phenomenal. I kind of feel like we should just leave this in the podcast.
I feel like we should. Yeah,
for sure. Like it starts recording instantly as soon as I hit as soon as the call started. So it's all in there. It's all in the podcast. So let me just say now, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Monday Night Shaw. My guest on this week's episode is Cameron Stevens. Of course, Cameron was on a little while ago with Cody Chimera and the return of Dirty Mike. But I wanted to give Cam the spotlight here tonight by himself, and he's got a lot of interesting things to talk about. We actually might touch on some stuff that's like not really wrestling related on this podcast, because that's something Cameron had an interest in doing, and you know, I don't have a problem with that. Like let's branch out our interests a little bit here, you know.
Yeah, it's obviously we all love wrestling, that's why we're here, but at the same time, let's do something a little different.
For sure, bud. I mean, before we do get into the non-wrestling talk, let's just talk about the wrestling stuff that's going on right now. How do you feel since the last time we spoke on the podcast that your wrestling career is gone? I mean, I know it's only been like a couple of months or whatever, but how do you think it's gone in the last couple of shows?
Good, man. Good. I'm having a good time as always, and Dirty Ink is as dirty as ever, and always as unpredictable as ever.
Of course, of course. Cody Chimera killing it still. Like, I mean, I'll be honest. Like, when I first saw Cody, like, he was good. But now it's like, oh, no, this guy's going to be really good.
Yeah, he's starting to come into his own a bit. And he's, I'm enjoying working with Cody right now. He's, yeah, definitely someone who's always there when you need him, 100%.
And a solid dude, too.
One of the greatest Bret Hart impressions I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, I was just going to mention, holy fuck. I couldn't believe when he went off about, you know, like just this, like the promo that he cut about like Pittsburgh is the anus of, you know, whatever Bret Hart said. He does it exactly word for word, and it sounds just like Bret Hart.
Yeah, for those at home who enjoy old school Bret Hart and like those 97 promos just tearing apart the U.S., yeah, he cuts those in Bret's voice, and it's pretty entertaining. But, yeah, we've got Cody and Dirty Inc., and we've got Sidney Steele there, too, which is always a good addition, and we've got Mike Jones. We just recently added our Dirty Assistant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, how could I forget about her, man?
Yeah, Celia Fate.
It's a fantastic wrestling name.
Oh, yeah, love it.
Yeah, absolutely. So Sidney Steele is in your faction. Are you going to be in the Pure Power Wrestling in Lethbridge?
Nothing has been talked about as of this moment, but never say never.
Okay. I mean, it's kind of irrelevant at this time because like this podcast is going to air a couple of weeks from now after that show. I was just curious.
Oh yeah. No, that, nothing's been, talked about, when it comes to Cameron Stevens and PPW. However, I'm obviously not against going out there.
100%. Yeah. Oh, so where do you want to start, bud?
Oh, you know, man, it could go any which way you want it to. It's yeah, anything you're wanting to do, we could elaborate on talking about some music if you want to.
Sure thing, bud. What? Let's talk about your wrestling music just to sort of segue into it. How did you like make the choice of having that? It's a Black Sabbath song, right?
Correct. Yeah,
as, it is, as your theme music.
Black Sabbath. Yeah. So funny enough, so my girlfriend's mom is a huge fan of Ozzy Osbourne, Black Sabbath, like big time. Huge fan of them, and she's always listening to it. So I kind of. She's like, oh, you should use something Aussie, something Sabbath. I was like, you know, Sabbath is cool, but I don't know. I'd have to find the right thing. And obviously, for those that that don't know, I am a cannabis user. And, yeah. if I haven't made it blatant enough as it is, yes, I am a cannabis user, and I am a proud cannabis user.
Hey man, it's 2018. It's legal now. I got no problem saying I like to, you know, have a puff.
Hey man, as far as I'm concerned, I'd rather smoke a little J than go out and pop a pill. So.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Or take a drink for that matter.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I heard you. You quit drinking.
Yeah, I had a bit of a not so good period when I was drinking, and some things went bad in the life of Stevens, and because of it, I turned to the bottle, and obviously, in hindsight, it was a terrible decision, and honestly, I feel like I've learned quite a bit from it, but yeah.
Yeah,
I gave up the booze, and now it's all about that sweet leaf.
Right on, bud. Right on. Yeah. No, I've been, I've had some issues like lately too. Like just, I get carried away sometimes for sure. You know, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I'm going to quit drinking or that I'm like a hardcore alcoholic. Like I can go without, I haven't had a beer in a couple of days or whatever. Right. But you know, there is times where it gets out of hand and
I find, that sweet leaf doesn't change your motions and emotions as much as the booze does, which is
yeah,
gave it up. But yeah, to each their own. You know, if that's your thing, you know, nothing against you, nothing personal. You know, just not my thing.
No, just like handle your high, right? Like even if your high is getting drunk, like. You know, if you can't handle yourself and you fucking become a douchebag, like, yeah, okay. So, what other kind of music are you into? Like, if Ozzy hadn't been on the table for your wrestling entrance, what song do you think you might have gone with?
Dude, I have a playlist on Spotify actually that that I just put a bunch of songs that I was like, you know what, this might be cool to come out to at some point, maybe, you know, or if someone's looking for something, maybe use this, you know. But most of what I was looking at was rap. I was looking at a lot of MGK.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was really thinking about coming out with some MGK music, but you couldn't beat Sweet Leaf. I was just the motion, the movement of the song, it's just, oh, perfect.
Yeah, 100%. That was the right choice. I know that when you told me you were looking up, because, like, I mean, I'm not trying to kill the magic here, but me and Cam are kind of friends, and we talk on Facebook once in a while. We play video games together. There's a bunch of us that get together and do that sort of thing. And so he mentioned that he was looking for new theme music, and I know that one of the artists I was looking at real strong for him was Mercules. Have you heard of Mercules?
Yes, I actually met Mercules one time. He was, it was at that Insane Clown Posse show in Calgary.
Oh, solid.
Yeah, solid. Yeah. I showed up there, and I was in the back, and Mercules was just in the locker room and sparked up a not I wouldn't say a conversation, more of a in passing, hey, how are you kind of thing, but nothing really, you know.
I got you. I've actually met him like two or three times.
Yeah, I've really been digging that new song he's got out with Tech N9ne. It's solid.
I can't say that I've heard it. I know the one that I was really listening to and thinking it might be good for you was the one where it's like, when the going gets tough and the tough get going. Have you heard that one?
I know I have. I'm trying to remember the name of it, but I cannot think of it to save my life.
I don't know off the top of my head. The only reason I knew who it was too is because my brother is a huge fan of like Stomp Down Tour and that stuff. So when Mercules, my brother went to a Stomp Down concert in Victoria where he lives, and he like sent me a bunch of pictures or whatever, and I saw these pictures of Mercules on stage, no shirt on, right? He has all these tattoos, and then so I'm working in Red Deer at the Cineplex. And homeboy comes in one day to watch a movie. And so I've served him popcorn like two or three times. And like the first time I was like, hey, I know you're from somewhere. Are you like a rapper or something? Are you Mercules? And he was like, yeah, man. And I was like, oh, that's so solid. There's nobody in line, right? Because it was a slow night. You know, maybe two or three people, but they're not in my line behind Mercules. So I busted out my phone and I was like, hey, can I get a selfie, right? So I got a selfie with Mercules at work. And then, I was like, hey, check this out, Beaners. Beaners is my brother. His name's Calvin, but we call him Beaners.
Is that a Cheech and Chong reference?
Well, my dad was a huge stoner, so I'd have to guess yes. The first time I remember, I do remember my dad showing me the Cheech and Chong clip of them singing this Beaner song.
Yes, it starts with Mexican Americans, and then then Cheech leaves the room, and Chong starts screaming Beaners over and over again. It's phenomenal.
Cheech and Chong movies are fantastic. Anyway, so then, like, Mercules came in a couple other times, and I didn't get a picture with him every time. It was the one time I got a picture with him. I just would say hi to him, and I was, like, friendly with him, right? I mean, like, it wasn't invite me over for drinks or anything, but, you know, he was like, oh, yeah, you're that guy, right? And anyway, one of my coworkers, also a fan of Mercules, Merc came in. I shouldn't call him Merc because people will get confused.
Yeah, especially on this podcast, people get real confused. Mercury, the rapper. Yeah,
Mercules the rapper comes into the Cineplex again, and he serves one of the other guys. And there's a huge lineup, and that guy's like, oh, can I bust? So he busts out his phone, and he takes a picture with him. And he actually got, like, written up. Like, disciplinary measures were taken against him because he posted the selfie on Facebook. So did I, but nobody said a fucking word to me. I felt kind of bad for him, but I wasn't about to be like, hey, I did the same thing and you guys didn't do nothing about it, you know? Like,
you weren't about to fucking stooge on yourself.
Like, why would I do that, right? But, you know, I just thought that was a funny story about, like, that kid was, I think he had, like, there was a couple other things that, reasons why they probably disciplined that guy, but, you know what I mean? I mean,
yeah, that was the straw that broke the camel's back kind of thing.
Yeah, and, like, legit, he shouldn't have done it when there was that many people in line. Like, you could see in the picture, there's a fucking line up there, you know?
Doing that.
Yeah. So, mentioned Cheech and Chong. What are, like, some of your favorite movies?
Honestly, like, with Cheech and Chong, for me, it's Up in Smoke and Next Movie. Anything other than that?
Oh, no, I meant movies in general, just because Cheech and Chong took us there. But, yeah, Up in Smoke is untouchable.
Oh, like,
as far as Cheech and Chong films go.
They're pretty good, and they've continued to be funny, but I don't think they've topped Up in Smoke. That although the snorting salt from Next Movie was pretty hilarious.
One of my favorite ones was when they're in the courtroom and the judge keeps drinking this big old glass of water or whatever, and then, like, Chong takes a sip of it and he spits out, he's like, a fucking vodka, man.
Oh yeah, it was phenomenal because he's like, can I just have a sip? Like, I'm assuming they're trying to go with he's all caught mouthed up, right? Couldn't say nothing. But yeah, I love Cheech and Chong. It's phenomenal.
How about Harold and Kumar?
You know what? I do enjoy Harold and Kumar quite a bit. I've seen most of their movies. I got Guantanamo Bay and White Castle on DVD here. But yeah.
Yeah,
speaking of stories, what are your thoughts on Pineapple Express?
I really like Pineapple Express. I don't think it's the best Seth Rogen movie or James Franco movie. I think that, like, This Is the End is a far funnier movie, but it's not a stoner comedy. It's more of a, like, a religious comedy.
More of like a, this is just funny in general, whereas Pineapple Express is like, this is funnier for potheads. Like,
yeah.
This is something funnier to people who smoke weed.
However, when you get to the part in This Is the End where they start filming the sequel to Pineapple Express, and it's like basically like they're doing like the Sweden version, and it's like low budget version of Pineapple Express 2.
I was so upset because I saw that in the movie. I was like, oh, please be real. Please just, for once, have this as just a teaser so there's something real coming out of this. But no, nothing.
Did you see the trailer for the new Aladdin movie?
I did not. I saw that little, like, 5-second teaser clip, but other than that, I didn't see nothing.
Oh, okay. I wasn't, like, from the pictures of Will Smith, it looks retarded, but then when I actually saw it in the video and, like, Will Smith was talking and stuff, I was like, oh, yeah, no, this is gonna work.
It's gonna be solid, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Aladdin, like, as far as kids' movies go, too, like, that's definitely a top three Disney movie for me.
Oh, easy.
Yeah, it's like Aladdin, Lion King, something else.
Yeah, I'm not a big Disney guy, but when it comes to Disney, if you're showing me some Disney, you either bring out Brother Bear or you bring out The Lion King, or you can go home.
I don't think I've seen Brother Bear.
How have you not seen Brother Bear, Kyle Shaw?
I don't know. I just don't think I've seen that one. I should probably check that one out. That's the one with don't they have like Bob and Doug McKenzie voicing some moose or something?
Yes, they totally do. I forgot they were in that movie.
Bob and Doug McKenzie too. Like if you want to talk about the foundation of stoner movies, like Strange Brew. Like not a stoner movie, but if you were stoned, it would be immensely enjoyable to watch Strange Brew.
Honestly, one movie I found that's really enjoyable after a good smoke, honestly, Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Texas Chainsaw, oh Jesus, like the original or the remake or?
Either one.
There's so many remakes, actually.
I think the original just because like the creepy factor gets even worse.
Have you ever seen the one with Renee Zellweger and Matthew McConaughey?
That was like New Beginnings or something like that, wasn't it? That came out as like a sequel to the 03 remake, right?
No. This is like early 90s, and it was called Texas Chainsaw: The Next Generation.
Okay, and... yeah, I know I've seen it before at least once, but yeah. It's been a
Matthew
while.
McConaughey is the reason to watch that movie. He's fucking crazy. There's not a lot of reasons to watch that movie, but Matthew McConaughey is the one.
Oh, nuts.
What other horror movies do you like?
Honestly, I'm not a huge horror guy, but when it comes to the, I guess that genre, I'd be more of a slasher guy. Personally, so Freddy, Jason, Leatherface, you know, Michael.
Nice. Phenomenal. All the classics.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And it doesn't get – well, it does get old, but at the same time, it doesn't. You know what I mean? Like, I can have a Friday the 13th marathon any time of the week and just – for some reason, that even when they're – like, even when the acting's just terrible, like – I'm no...
There's no point in any Friday 13th movie where the acting isn't terrible.
See, I think part three was probably the worst for it. part three was bad.
Like, as acting goes?
Yeah, yeah.
That's fair. Part five is also complete dog shit. That's the one where Jason turns out to... Spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, Friday the 13th. Part five, but that's the one where Jason turns out to be Roy, the ambulance driver.
I'm sorry, but if that's something that actually just got spoiled just now, that movie came out in the 80s, I'm pretty sure, so, you know.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, that
around here.
That one's absolute dog shit, and then so is the one Jason Takes Manhattan.
I like that one. I like that one just because it's so shitty that it's good.
It's good once he gets to Manhattan in the final 20 minutes of the fucking movie.
Oh, yeah.
The rest of it is Jason sails to Manhattan on a yacht and kills people.
Hey, man, but let's not forget about, like, child Jason creeping out that one girl every time she looks in the mirror, like,
yeah.
Or looks out a window.
When he kills the chick with the guitar, that's pretty cool, too.
See, not going to lie, as much as I like the liquid nitrogen kill, I still think the sleeping bag kill from Jason X was phenomenal. The original sleeping bag was great, but the Jason X version where it's just Terminator Jason slamming one sleeping bag filled with someone into another, it's just, oh.
Yeah, that's some pretty good stuff for sure. I love the, like I say, the acting is dog shit in them all, but the movies themselves I really enjoy.
I find the remake for Friday the 13th, everyone hated the acting, everyone hated the actors. Dude, I absolutely love that movie. Like, it's not, it doesn't surpass, you know, the old ones, but at the same time, I did enjoy the brother-sister dynamic in that movie, along with the two buddies. I think it's fair to assess them as a pair of stoners, hey?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched it in a long time. I remember I liked it, but I didn't love it. It was the same with the Freddy remake. Like, I thought the best part of the Freddy remake was Jackie Earle Haley as Freddy, but it just seemed, like, humorless. I don't know.
I don't know. It's, see, I don't think that Robert Englund will ever be topped as Freddy, though.
No. 100% no.
It's like, Robert Englund doesn't have to do anything other than Freddy for the rest of his life, and he's... He doesn't have to do anything at all. Like,
yeah, no, he's at that point now where he's got to have millions of dollars.
Oh, no, like, easily.
Based on, like, just...
I think that he still does all those conventions and stuff, and I know Kane Hodder still does a lot of them, too.
Yeah, I'd like...
Kane Hodder was Jason in part 7, 8, and Goes to Hell.
Yeah, I think he was in... yeah, Jason Goes to Hell, and I think he was in Jason X as well.
Yes, Jason.
They recast him for Freddy versus Jason, which is one of my favorites. I really like Freddy versus Jason.
A lot of people hate it. And a lot of people shit on it. I love Freddy versus Jason. It might just be because I like kind of bad movies, but I don't know. It's
also got a very SmackDown vibe to it, you know.
Yes, it's like it's, everything you want out of a Jason versus anybody movie or a Freddy versus anybody movie. It's metal as fuck. There's just a whole bunch of bloodshed. The acting isn't the best, but there's some pretty solid kills throughout the movie, well, at least by Jason.
Yeah, and Freddy's on point.
Like, it could have been worse, the plot, the whole outline of the story, but I did enjoy... everything about that movie except Jason being afraid of water.
Yeah, that was just a little dumb.
Yeah, that didn't feel right to me. It's like, homeboy at the end of the movie just walks right into the lake, no problem. Like, he's done that how many movies, and now all of a sudden he's afraid? Come on, man.
Yeah, and it's Jason. I don't think he should have fear at all. Like, fear shouldn't be even a thing that occurs to him.
Exactly, especially at that point, because that's when he's zombie Jason. That's after he's already come back. So this is the unstoppable, untouchable Jason.
Have you seen the wrestler, Jason the Terrible?
I have, yeah. I've seen, I've looked into quite a bit of his work. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, right on. I've never seen him, but I think he's actually worked for RCW and stuff in the past.
Yeah, that's most of the stuff I had seen, but honestly, everything I've seen of him, I've really thoroughly enjoyed.
Yeah, how about Leatherface? Have you watched any Leatherface matches?
Yeah, I've seen it, though. I haven't watched it, but I've seen it. I can't remember, is that in Japan or is it in the States?
I think there's a couple of different Leatherfaces. I know that there was definitely some Leatherface going on in Japan. If you watch, like, the old ICP tapes where it was, like, the Mick Foley Death Tournament. The one where he fought Cactus Jack in the C4 match or whatever. Like, I think that Leatherface is all over those kind of videos. But there's also a dude out in BC, I'm pretty sure, that used to portray Leatherface. I could be wrong, but I think... Tim Flowers might have been Leatherface at one point.
I'll have to look into that.
I could be totally wrong on that.
It sounds very, very fun.
Well, some of those matches are crazy. Have you seen the Bed of Nails matches and stuff?
Honestly, when it comes to that Japan hardcore stuff, it's... mostly Foley and Funk, like Foley versus Funk is most of what I've seen. Obviously I've sought out like the Piranha Death Match and stuff like that just to see, right? But
yeah. Have you ever watched any of like the CZW Tournament Death or the IWA Mid-South, like King of the Death Matches?
Honestly, whenever I've seen those promotions, it was to watch the guys, the guys more along the lines of like a Chris Hero or a Samoa Joe or guys like that, you know?
Yeah. I'm
a big fan of it, but I mean, lately I haven't really been into it as much as I used to be.
Yeah. Is that like a style of wrestling you'd ever like consider partaking in? Like if Squig was like, All right, Cam, tonight you're fighting heavy metal in a light tube log cabin glass table fire death match. Like, would you be down for that?
Just to see exactly what that idea is, you know, I'd obviously ask what the hell is that, but you know.
Oh, yeah, I've never seen a log cabin light tube match.
No, I never have seen a log cabin light tube match, because that, yeah, that's way past my my hardcore knowledge.
they had a hardcore log cabin light tube match on the Tournament of Death 2, and it was actually like a 2 out of 3 falls affair too. So you had to do it, like, you had to put a guy through a log cabin of light tubes twice, which is basically exactly what it sounds out like. They build a box of light tubes, and that's what you. It's like a table match. The first person that goes through the light tubes loses, right? Except it was 2 out of 3 falls. And then homeboy pulled out a weed whacker and zapped the guy in the gut.
Okay, I think I've seen the weed whacker zap in the gut video before. I'm pretty sure I've seen that clip.
Yeah.
So I might have seen a clip from that match.
How much money would Squig have to pay you to take a weed whacker shot to the gut?
Yeah, I am... No weed whackers for Cameron Stevens. Maybe on the offensive end, I might use a weed whacker, but I don't intend on bringing a weed whacker into a wrestling ring anytime soon.
Yeah, that's one of those things where I watch those and I'm like, you know, like, you have to imagine the fellas that are on those shows, they're not getting paid any more than the fellas that are on our shows, not by much anyway. You know, and like, just to put your body through that kind of abuse, like.
Oh, I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, like the risk associated too. Like, even if you're like, especially if you're down in the States where there's no medical coverage and you have to pay your own hospital bills, like, what the fuck are you thinking? No offense to anybody that's into that kind of stuff. Like, I know Vince Austin is right down to do one of those matches. But, like, you know, at least he lives in Canada where his health care will be covered, you know?
Yeah, and you know what? It's a personal preference thing. And again, nothing against the guys that do that sort of thing, but it's, yeah, that's not my that's not my forte in any way, shape, or form. You might see me with a chair or a stick, but no, probably not a light tube.
Did you ever take the thumbtack spot?
I have not.
No? Okay. What about the, did you mess around with the board of mouse traps that was at the Abyss show?
Yeah, actually, I was at one of those shows, I was the guy who helped set all of those traps.
I also did that. I remember, yeah, actually, like, I think it might be, like, one of my first times I was on the Archer Report. I was, like, setting up the mouse traps, and Dead Zone came up and, like, pushed me into the mouse traps.
That is phenomenal.
Yeah. Have you – so speaking of the Archer Report, I've been getting right into the Edge and Christian show that totally reeks of awesomeness on the WWE Network. And I know I talked to you about this earlier. You said you hadn't seen much of it.
Yeah,
but, like,
in, like, maybe the first 5 episodes –
Oh, okay. Well, I put on the first episode of season 2 today, and it was a weekend at Vinny's. I mean, I don't know if you remember, we did the weekend at Thad's, where Thaddeus was, like, out conscious or whatever, and...
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, I was like, this thing that they're doing on the Edge and Christian show is pretty much exactly like the Archer Report with, like, professional writing and a budget. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to watch.
The professional writing and a budget. That's, wow.
Oh, yeah, no, and, like, no, I'm not trying to, like, diminish the value of the Archer Report. Like, I love Archer Report.
That's so great.
But, like, yeah, like, if we had the money, like, the next one was the Goonies, and it was called the Moonies, and they were trying to find,
Stevens would do a bunch of money.
They were trying to find Sean Mooney's pants. It was a hunt for, and it was a spoof of the Goonies.
Colin Mooney is more than enough to get me to tune in.
Yeah. You know the Asian kid in the Goonies? The one that makes all the inventions and stuff?
Like I said, it's been probably since I was a kid, since I watched the Goonies, so I don't... From the Goonies, I pretty much remember Chunk and Swap, and that's about it.
Tommy Dreamer plays Chunk.
That is great.
Funaki plays the Asian kid. That was pretty fabulous. Yeah, it was really good. Is there anything, any, like, movies you're looking forward to seeing that come out in the future? Like, is there anything you're stoked for?
I haven't been really keeping up to date on what's coming out. Is there anything particularly exciting looking to yourself, Kyle Shaw? Because yeah, like I said, I haven't really seen all that much.
Well, like I say, I actually really enjoyed the trailer for Aladdin. I want to see that, but the one that I'm, of course, pretty much everybody else in the world is Avengers. I want to see what happens on Avengers.
Oh, that's right. I forgot the name. Honestly, you know what? This is going to surprise some people, but I am more than, like, way behind on the Marvel Universe.
Oh, really? Have you seen Guardians?
Oh, I haven't even seen the first Guardians.
Oh, dude. Like, yeah, as soon as we're done this podcast, you should go watch Guardians of the Galaxy. That movie is fucking awesome.
Ultron, dude.
Age of Ultron? That one's decent, but once
you... Oh, yeah. There was no specific reason as to why I stopped watching them. I just didn't take those over other movies.
Batista is absolutely amazing in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Everyone's trying to get me to watch Guardians, and yeah, I don't know. It's just part of me almost doesn't want to watch it because I've spent so much time where I haven't seen it. I kind of want to keep that, but it's kind of like Lord of the Rings. I'm not a Lord of the Rings guy either.
Well, like, you don't need to fall in true love with this shit. Like, it's, you know, like, it's not your virginity. It's not to be cherished that you haven't seen Guardians. Like, fucking watch it. It's a good time, you know?
I feel like it's not that good a time, though, because I feel like everyone's, like, saying it's so great that by the time I see it, it's just going to be,
Nope, you're totally wrong. It's
really?
It lives up to the fucking hype. Both.
I'm going to definitely check this out, and then on Cameron Stevens' third Monday Night Show appearance, I will, I'll tell you how it was, what my thoughts on it were.
Yeah, and like, if you don't like it, there's something wrong with you. I'm sorry. Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, I've heard it's just ridiculously good.
Yes. What was the other one that I thought was just as good? There was one that came out recently. It was another Marvel. Oh, Thor Ragnarok.
Also, I haven't checked it out. I've seen how many Thor movies are there now? There's three or four, right?
There's three. Ragnarok's the third one.
Okay, so I've seen the first two.
Yeah, the first two are okay, but the third one is basically, like, they kind of, like, realized that the melodramatic shit isn't getting over and just went straight up comedy with it, and it works so well.
Okay, because, yeah, it seems like Marvel sort of leans more the comedy route, whereas DC kind of makes things a little more serious.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of the DC movies?
Again, it's the same as the Marvel movies. I haven't really kept up to date, but the ones I see, I always enjoy. They're always thoroughly entertaining. I'm a huge fan of the Dark Knight series, as everyone else is.
Oh, yeah. I would say that the actual Dark Knight, like the second one with the Joker in it, is the best comic book movie ever made.
I wouldn't say I disagree, but I wouldn't agree with that either.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can agree with it because, like, you haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy 1 or 2 or Thor Ragnarok, which would be, like, close seconds. All three of those are on the same sort of even keel for me. I'm like, these are all just as good as one another.
How about with the Batman movies? If you're taking out the Dark Knight trilogy, what is your favorite Batman movie?
Ooh. Batman. Batman with Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson. It's a fantastic.
Oh yeah, that's the go-to. Yeah, I love that movie.
Batman Returns also has like some really good moments in it. Like Danny DeVito is fantastic as the Penguin.
Which one had Arnold in it? Was that Batman and Robin?
Yeah, that was Batman and Robin, the fourth one. And that one was like the first two were directed by Tim Burton, and then it got handed over to Joel Schumacher, and he did Batman Forever with Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones as the Riddler and Two-Face. That one was really good. Like, Batman Forever was really good. And I remember when I was like...
Which one had Poison Ivy and Bane?
That was Batman and Robin. That one's atrocious. It's a terrible movie, Batman and Robin.
I love it just because it has Bane. No other reason. It's just I really enjoy seeing, you know, luchador-looking Bane on my TV screen. He doesn't have to
do it. I'll admit, when I was a kid, Batman and Robin was my favorite one. But now I go back at... I said, like, when I was a kid, Batman and Robin was my favorite one. But now when I go back and watch it, it's like the first scene is Batman is breaking into the – or Mr. Freeze is breaking into this museum, and then Batman shows up to stop him, right? But, like, you could see as Mr. Freeze is walking around the museum that there's this icicle-shaped spotlight on him. And I was like – so when Mr. Freeze was talking to his – minions and his thugs, he was like, okay, you make sure the police don't come in here, you start stealing the valuables, and you go up there and operate the icicle shaped spotlight that we brought with us, you know, like
you on the light, you, I don't know, go grab a coffee or something. Like, yeah. He was basically that guy. He was the go grab a coffee guy.
Yeah, no, I just like the icicle shaped spotlight. It just occurred to me one day because I had to operate a spotlight once at a fashion show. And so that after I watched that movie and realized somebody is operating that spotlight, somebody had to be delegated that task. Like, why would that task be delegated in the middle of a criminal operation, you know?
I feel like the answer to that question is more entertaining than the movie itself.
Yeah. Like, it's just one of those weird things that I've always pondered after seeing that movie.
How they do things. Wait, why do you do that? And their explanation is so much better than just watching them do it.
Yeah. And then he pulls out – remember when he pulls out the Batman credit card?
I don't remember that one, but that sounds about right.
Yeah, him and Robin are at this function where Poison Ivy shows up, and it's like one of those auction gimmicks where they auction off a date with a hot girl, and then Batman and Robin start bidding against one another, and then Batman pulls out a fucking Batman MasterCard, and he's like, never leave the cave without it.
That's awesome. It's... You know, I still like the 60s Adam West Batman movie. That one's pretty good.
Yeah, I like that one too. I haven't watched it in a long time, but I did pick it up on Blu-ray recently just because I'm a bit of a completionist. So, like, if I have one movie in a series, I just feel like I need to have them all.
Oh, I know the feeling.
And even, like, it's gotten me in situations where I've had to spend more money than I should have. Like, the Jaws series... Jaws 1 is a good movie. The other three, not good movies. But of course, I was there, and they were all there, and I was like, okay, well, I'll buy them all, you know?
How much did you fork out for all of the Jaws movies, Kyle Shaw?
$40. $40. Huge. It was $10 a piece.
How long ago was this? Was this at least a decent amount of time ago, or was
last
this
month?
Oh, brother, you should have gone to Walmart.
Yeah, we were well, my aunt sent me my grandma sent me a gift card for Walmart for $30, and I was like, oh, can we go, like, my car is on the fritz right now, right? So the only way I can really get around is if Squid gives me a ride somewhere. So I was like, oh, can you give me a ride down to Walmart and whatnot? And he was like, oh, well, I'm headed over to Londonderry Mall. Here, just give me that gift card and I'll give you the $30 and I'll take you. You can go to Sunrise Records and buy a couple of movies there, right? So.
Yeah.
I gave.
Yeah, Walmart's got the, I think it's got all of them on for like $20 or something. I don't know if it's still there.
No, it's irrelevant now. You know, like it's definitely one of those things where I spend too much money on things I shouldn't, but you know, I do enjoy them. Like, I will.
The same way.
Yeah, like I'll sit down and watch Jaws 3. It's terrible, but I'll watch it.
That's kind of like Friday the 13th Part 5 for me. It's just so terrible, but I'll sit down and watch it. It's one of my go-tos.
Yeah, like I remember the guy at the beginning with the chocolate bar. So goofy.
This is the dude with the chocolate. See, at the
pretty sure he's...
Okay, cool. Vic versus Jason. Awesome. Like, dude's just axing some poor chocolate-eating guy.
Yeah. How about video games? I know, like I said, I like to play video games with you from time to time. What kind of games are you into, man? Besides WWE 19.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big fan of the 2K games, as I'm sure we all are. But, yeah, I dig the Madden games. Those are pretty fun. I don't play them much, but if I'm playing something, it's usually going to be 2K or... sometimes I'll throw in the UFC 3 game. I usually just play knockout mode.
I haven't played the UFC 3 yet. I believe I have it on my Xbox because it's part of like the EA Access thing. So I downloaded it, but I haven't tried it yet.
Yeah, it's very similar to UFC 2, at least from someone who doesn't play it often. I enjoy it. It's decent.
It's
the only thing fan of is there's no Mike Tyson. I can't just glass jaw people anymore.
is Bruce Lee still in the game?
Oh yeah, he's all over that game.
how about CM Punk?
Oh, 100%.
What do you think about CM Punk's fighting career?
Good on you. You're doing something you want to do, but probably should have done it a decade ago.
Yeah, do you think Punk will show up at All Elite?
You never know. You know, it's probably more likely to see him show up there than I'd say WWE, just because that seems like the place where he'd have more creative freedom.
Well, and his boss isn't somebody that he thinks is an asshole. I mean, I don't know what his opinion of Cody and the Bucks are, but I'm pretty sure he doesn't like Triple H and Vince McMahon.
And like I said, you never know. Wrestling is one of those things. Anything can happen at any time. You never know what you're going to see.
Yeah. What's your thoughts on All Elite Wrestling? Like, are you stoked for it? Because for me, it seems like one of the most exciting things that's happened in the business in a number of years.
I was really a big fan of the idea when I first heard about it, because it was like, wow, there's something else coming out now that's going to at least try to be a alternative to what the WWE is doing. And that's, again, it's always created for a good quality product, because again, I mean, everyone who watched in the late 90s would know that WCW versus WWE, that created very, very high quality of a product, and at least a popular product, if nothing else. And it's like everyone was going crazy for the wrestling business, and hopefully All Elite Wrestling coming in and starting up and maybe even going head toe to toe with the WWE, that'll hopefully create the same kind of a dynamic where you don't know what you're going to see on a week to week basis, and you never know where guys are going to go or what's going to happen. It's always fun when there's so many variables that you don't know what's going to happen, when it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, and there's no way of really figuring it out.
Yeah, it's cool that they've, like, now, from what I hear, that they when they put their tickets on sale, they sold out the second show in, like, 20 minutes.
I heard that, yeah. I knew they sold out the first show really, really quick, but
yeah,
it sold out just as, if not faster.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you were the WWE, would you be, like, worried about this?
I don't know, man, because that's the thing. There's so much that you don't really know about it, because, you know, we know they have a money guy who's going to help them out financially, yeah, right? And you know they've got connections with a lot of the boys, because, I mean, you know, so many of the guys that have an office position in that promotion, you know, Cody, the Bucks, Kenny, like all those guys, it seems as if they're the guys that are in charge of this promotion are the ones who are in the locker room and they know the guys and they work with the guys, and it seems like it'll be more of a hands-on type of thing, but then again, you never know. It's it'll be exciting to find out what comes of it.
Yeah, I'm really like interested in seeing it. Like, Double or Nothing sounds far more appealing to watch to me than like Elimination Chamber, you know.
I honestly I'm excited for both. Then again, I'm excited for any wrestling that comes on TV. So.
Oh, I hear ya. Do you remember when Hogan showed up and they went head to head in TNA with WWE?
Oh, dude, I was watching TNA religiously when they did that.
Yeah, I remember, like, I watched the first episode for sure. I think I watched the first couple Monday Night Shaws, or not Monday Night Shaws, the Monday Night TNAs. And then yeah. I kind of fell off, because it was like, some of it was just awful.
Back, wasn't it?
Pardon me?
First one where they went on Mondays was when Jeff Hardy came back, right? Hogan debuted the main event pretty much, and Hardy returned in the opener.
Yeah, and there was a big bullshit chant because Homicide couldn't fucking pull himself out of the cage.
Fair enough. That's
yeah,
quite the thing to have to try and climb out of.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, don't get me wrong. It's not like I could climb out of that fucking cage, but, like, I think set the tone. I think it, like, put a poor first impression, you know? Like, I remember, like, later on there was a big controversy because there was, like, footage from, like, the next taping where the, like, producers were out addressing the crowd and being like, you guys are extras and you can't chant swear words at the shows, and, you know? I get where they're coming from, but it seemed like... I don't know.
Get what you're trying to go for, sort of thing, but yeah.
Yeah, it just seems to kill some of the organic thrill of it, you know?
I guess so, yeah. And again, it's a personal preference thing at that point, but yeah. Again, you're not going to hear me saying I hate things or I don't things. You know, there are things that I would prefer to watch over other things, you know, but.
Yeah, definitely. And like, I'm not sitting here saying I hate TNA. I don't hate TNA.
Oh, obviously not. TNA is phenomenal.
Yeah, there's some really good stuff that's gone on in TNA over the years. Like, I was a huge fan of TNA back in, 2003 and 2004, like that era when it first started. I mean,
into it around 2007 when Angle was there and Christian was there and, you know, Abyss and AJ and everyone was just, I don't know, it just seemed like it was an underground sort of thing that, you know, like, this is on TV, it's not supposed to be on TV, you know, that's what made it cool. But once it seemed like it sort of grew up a bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. I remember that's the first time I realized, oh, there's wrestling out there that's not WWE.
Like, yeah,
at that time.
Yeah, I was in the same boat there.
Yeah, because like, it had never even occurred to me that there was anything going on outside of WWE before that. Like, you know, not that was being filmed and aired anyway. Like, I remember my first indie show that I ever went to was in like 1998 or 99 or something, and it was at the Esquimalt Legion in Victoria. It was an ECCW show, Extreme Canadian Championship Wrestling, and Gorgeous Michelle Starr was in the main event.
Awesome.
Yeah. The Mad Bomber was there too, And I remember the Mad Bomber was a Victoria guy, and we got a Polaroid taken with him, and my dad had it on his fridge for years. I think that guy's name is Nelson Creed. But I could be wrong about that too. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, I mean that stuff like that. Like those are cool stories, man. And you only hear those kind of stories, it seems like, from people who are around the wrestling business. You know, the stories where it's like, oh yeah, when I was 3 years old, I sat in a stroller for fucking 3 hours silently just so I could meet my hero. Like,
did that happen to you?
That's a shoot, yeah. I was 3 years old, waiting silently in a stroller for 3 hours, and guess who my favorite wrestler at the time was, who I was going to meet?
Owen Hart.
I was 3 years old. I was born in 98.
Oh, okay. So probably not Owen Hart then, eh? Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I love Owen Hart, but he was unfortunately long gone by the time. No, it was Chris Benoit.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Years old and you were into Benoit, hey?
I loved Benoit. The Canadian Crippler, man, from Edmonton. He was Canadian. That was more than enough for me.
But even, what about, Bret Hart?
He's phenomenal.
Like 98, too. That's before he was even in WWE. Or 98 was when you were born.
Yeah. So when I was three, it would have been, late 2001?
Okay,
late 2001, early 2002.
Oh, okay. Where do you stand on the whole Benoit thing? Do you think he's deserving of Hall of Fame? Or
his in-ring, his in-ring quality and all of his promos and everything he ever did, especially around the wrestling business, it speaks for itself. Like, I don't think anyone could touch Benoit in the ring, especially around that time frame, because he was just speechless how good he was. Like, the intensity, the technical ability, the fact that, you know, it almost seemed like he didn't even need to try to be the best one there, and still, like.
Yeah, I remember when he died, and I actually had fallen asleep earlier in the evening, and then I woke up and I put Raw on, and they were showing a Dean Malenko versus Benoit match from WCW. And I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I found out about the whole thing, and I just, I totally didn't want to believe that Benoit actually did it. I was buying into the Kevin Sullivan conspiracy theories and everything.
I didn't go that far, but I was like, dude, I don't want to believe that it happened, man. It's sad, man. It's sad, but at the same time, it's also, you know, I think that all that happening was a wake-up call to, I think, the rest of the world, really. You know, pay attention to what's going on in your head, man. Like, if you've taken a bump to the head and it's not feeling right, you check that. Because, you don't want, you know, all these hits to the brain to come back at you, you know? And it's something that... obviously, it's a massive tragedy, but yeah, it's. But I prefer to remember Chris Benoit as his in-ring Canadian Crippler, the guy who, you know, made Triple H tap out at WrestleMania.
Yeah, some of the best matches of all time.
Yeah. Like, that's the Chris Benoit I like to remember. The one who was hugging his best friend at the end of WrestleMania 20. My favorite WrestleMania that I ever watched. Actually,
oh, really? Oh, okay. I was going to say, what about going back and having seen them all? Which one's your favorite?
Honestly, I feel like I'm the only person on the planet who has this favorite Mania. 14. I absolutely love it.
Yeah, no, that's... definitely not my favorite. I don't even know if that one's in my top five.
yeah, most people wouldn't put it in their top five, but honestly, I love it. Like, between Owen and Triple H, which obviously Owen Hart and Triple H are both amazing. It's gold every time. The Austin era begins. Taker versus Kane for the first time at Mania.
I know Taker versus Kane was the draw for me.
LOD returns in the Tag Team Battle Royal. Eliminates the new Midnight Express, Bob Holly and, what was it, Bart Gunn?
Yeah, I think Bodacious Bart and Bombastic Bob.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And they still came out with Cornette, which anytime you get to see Cornette, it's sweet.
Yeah, no, I like thinking back now, that sounds like a solid Mania for sure.
Oh, yeah, that had a match too with Cactus and...
Right, against the Outlaws.
Charlie, yeah, that was his WWE name. Chainsaw Charlie versus the New Age Outlaws. One of my favorite kid.
Do you have a favorite match that has taken place at WrestleMania?
For the longest time, it was the Iron Man match.
Oh, with Bret and Shawn?
Oh, yeah. Like, even as a kid, like, that was the only match. Like, because everyone knows when you're a kid, it's hard to get a child to sit down for an hour and pay attention, especially if it's just two people. But I was fucking locked on the screen, man. Like, you could not pull me away from that screen watching Bret and Shawn.
Yeah. Iron Man match has got to be hard to execute. To hold the people's attention for that long.
I would assume so, yeah. Because those... They're long. They're long and they're, you know, the way that all the guys do them, it's just mind blowing to me because it's like you're keeping the, you know, you're keeping the crowd there with you the whole time. And that's an hour. That's a long time. Like most guys, an average match is around 10 to 12 minutes. Well, on the indies, at least on Raw, an average match could be maybe 3, you know. But, well, maybe not Raw, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hear you. We talked about the Benoit thing, and we were talking about, like, if you get a bump on your head, where do you come down on, like, chair shots to the head? Like, have you ever taken a chair shot to the head? Is that something you would refuse to do if you were asked to?
No, I have. I have once. Once, maybe twice.
Yeah, was that against Jordan?
That was against Jordan.
Okay, and was it something that, like, you cleared with Squig, or you guys just went out there and did it, or, like, was it not even an issue? Nobody even said nothing about it.
No one said anything about it. No one really thought much about it. Yeah, but, you know, bumps to the head is something that we all need to keep an eye on, and I myself, I know... I try to keep an eye on it as best I can. You know, if I take a shot to the head, I make sure to keep an eye on myself, you know, make sure I'm not feeling too bad for the next couple days.
Have you ever sustained a concussion, while you were wrestling?
I've had two concussions. The first one I got from wrestling. The second one I got from football.
Oh, I didn't know you played football.
I played football in high school.
Right on.
Yeah. I played on the offensive line. And everywhere on the offensive line except right in the middle.
Okay. Nice. Okay, like when you're not at work or when you're not wrestling, what kind of things do you like to do?
You know, I do a lot of things, man. It's a matter of, I mean, today, before we've recorded this, all over the place, hopefully entertaining podcast, I did a bit of cleaning today, a bit of organizing. Today was a day off, so I got to relax a little bit and clean and, you know, tidy some stuff up. Yeah, man, I spend a lot of time with my girlfriend. She keeps me sane when I can't. And,
Yeah, she keeps me going.
Yeah, shout out to your girlfriend there. That's, yeah, no, she's I like your girlfriend, she's cool.
Yeah, man, in all honesty, she's, no matter what I'm doing, no matter what I want to do, like, she's by my side no matter what, and, you know, what else could you ask for, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, I know that we're totally scatterbrained on this thing here. We're probably just have to call this the Scatterbrain Podcast or something. But
Scatterbrain, I like that.
Yeah, like has your girlfriend ever inquired to you about like maybe valeting you to the ring or something like Celia Fate?
You know what? Believe it or not, she has, and I don't know. I've got a few ideas, you know, you never know. And that's what I told her. You never know. And that's one thing about Cameron Stevens and Dirty Inc. And I guess wrestling in general, you never know what's going to happen. So, you know, maybe one of these days you'll see Michaela in an RCW ring, perhaps, standing around and, you know, making me look better by comparison, I guess. I don't know. You know, I guess I'm the one who looks like I could win a fight, I guess. You know, I'm the muscle of the relationship.
You're the one wearing the pants?
You know. You know, I got to check in with her first, but yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of compromising in relationships, for sure. 100%. So is there anything you want to plug or any social media accounts you want to plug or, you know, just anything else that you want to, you know?
All over everything, man. I'm on Instagram at Cameron Stevens Wrestles. I'm on Twitter at Cameron Stevens Zero. What else am I on? I'm on Facebook. At Cameron Stevens, the page, it's got a picture of me. You'll recognize it. At least I hope you recognize me.
you have a Cameron Stevens page on Facebook?
Yeah, I got a Cameron Stevens page on Facebook. Also, speaking of Facebook pages and pages to plug, everyone who likes just indie wrestling in general, go check out Indie Wrestling Spotlight. That's a page run by a few people in the Canada indie wrestling area. So yeah, definitely a good page to go like and keep up to date on the indie scene, and especially get a good look at some of the talents that we have on the Canadian indie roster, such as, I know they recently did a write up on, Andrew Hawks.
Oh, you're talking about, Wrestling Glory Days,
Glory Days, and they got their indie wrestling spotlight, side page too.
Yeah. The one that Charles Spencer does.
Yes. Correct.
100%. I think I actually want to have Charles on the podcast. Cause of his, like his involvement in that page.
Yeah, Charles just did.
He's got a lot of knowledge. I know he's not like a performer or anything on the shows, but yeah, he's a very interesting cat to talk to.
Yeah, one thing, like a lot of people don't know Charles, but one thing I think Charles is, I guess, at least with me, really, really good, a good aspect about him is when you're in the car and, you know, everyone's kind of said their piece, no one really knows what to talk about. Charles is right there.
To chime in.
He's right there with a topic of discussion to keep everyone, you know, keeps the conversation flowing. And, you know, I feel like people like that are always good to have around. A very knowledgeable guy in the sense of he's been watching wrestling forever. He's been, you know, and like just the history things that he's, even things he's told me, like things I had never even heard of before, right? So yeah, I think that would be a really fun podcast guest.
Yeah, I also I do want to say, like, Charles is an invaluable help at the shows. He does the sound on pretty much all our shows now, and he's doing the best he can. Like,
time he does the friggin' recording. Dude does A, B, C, D, and F. Like,
yeah.
Don't forget about E, though. Sometimes we give him E.
He's invaluable. And, I mean, he has to work sometimes with, like, the equipment is sometimes a little less than reliable, you know? But Charles is always able to make it work.
Oh, always. That's, yeah. Charles, if it's not working great, he'll figure out a way to make it work good.
Yeah, and I mean, if there is a problem, he fixes it immediately.
Yep, he doesn't bitch and complain, and he doesn't ask for anything really. All the guy ever really asks for is, you know, be nice to me.
yeah. No, so yeah, I guess we'll cut it there. A shout out to Charles.
Big show. Actually, speaking of shout outs and people to check out, I know we've been way past our music discussion, but there's a newer rap artist who's coming out now, actually a Canadian, I think he's Canadian, Tom McDonald. Dude is solid. He recently put out this song, I Wish. I highly suggest everyone go check it out. It's really tremendous. I love it.
I will have to listen to that. I Wish, yeah, by Tom McDonald is a whack wrestling or a rap name, though. Like, don't you think? Like,
I don't know. I feel like I only like it just because it's a name. Like, that's all it is.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, when I think of rappers, I think, like, oh, they all have kayfabe names, like Eazy-E and Ice Cube and Eminem, you know? Like, there's not a lot of, like, Bill Worthingtons, you know?
Well, I guess maybe it hasn't even changed that much because, you know, we still have the Tokens and the Hawksons and the, you know, Machine Gun Kellys and the, you know. But I don't know, Tom McDonald, he's good shit, man. I highly suggest checking him out. Politically Incorrect is a pretty good song he's put out as well. Dear Rappers is the one that probably most people have heard of his. But yeah, definitely something to check out. I had to make sure I plugged him in this podcast because I've been listening to his stuff nonstop for weeks. So,
right on, bud. Right on. Okay, well, thank you for listening to this episode of Monday Night Shaw, the Scatterbrain episode with Cameron Stevens. It was a lot of fun, man. Even though we were like sort of all over the place.
Oh, all over the place. You know what? Hopefully, people stuck this long. Maybe just to see if we ever established a firm topic. Don't worry, people, we didn't. don't you worry, there's no firm topic with Cameron Stevens and Kyle Shaw. It's just a little all over the place, and kind of how we are. I think we're both a little all over the place kind of cats, and yeah, I think the podcast is going to show that a bit.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, thank you, my friend.
Absolutely, anytime.
Okie dokie.